How we doing? Woo! I have a big mouth, so you can turn me down. Good. Well, I came with Abby this week, and it was a snowstorm on Wednesday when we came to practice. And isn't this, it's just crazy. Like, we're kind of done with it. Well, unless you're a skier, then you're like, any skiers? Any snowboarders? No? Okay. In Oswego, you don't ski? You should. You have to ski to get to work sometimes. So I was saying this to my little girl that came to our church. She was with her mom the other day, and I said, Aubrey, what is going on with this snow outside? It's March. And she looks at me. She's three. And she's like, it technically is still winter. Yeah. She told me. Yeah. I was like, you're right. But on the 21st, it's not going to be winter anymore, so there better not be any snow. My name is Michelle. I have three kids, 17, Abby played the drums, 13, and 10, yeah. Two girls and a boy. So I'm in the middle of the awkward middle school boy age. Anybody? Yeah, it's really, yeah, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, me and the girls just roll our eyes all day because he comes home and makes awkward noises and plays video games. Don't you want to play, Mom? No, I'll watch you. Not going to play because I'm not going to be good at all that. So my middle daughter, I'm going to tell a story. Those of you who are on my, who follow me on Facebook already saw this, but I just have to say it because it goes along with the spring thing. But she is a very intense girl, to say the least. And if you want any good stories, you can talk to this half of the room because they grew up with her. And so she was just she's very intense, very passionate, strong-willed. Anyone relate? Anyone themselves strong-willed? Yes. So I was blessed with her, and she's a gem. She's amazing. But she was like the kind who I was scared to death for her to go to school because I thought that I was going to be getting calls all the time from the principal or the teacher, like, and Marin did this again. But she, except for the first day, I heard that the principal had to drag her off the bus because she refused to get off the bus because the bus was supposed to take her back home. So after the first day, she was fine, though. She went to school, and she was fine. So first grade, you know, what are you, six or seven in first grade? So I go in to pick her up one day from school, and, you know, they have, like, all these, it's spring, and all these beautiful, like, pictures, and they're writing, you know, when they're, like, in first grade, and you can't understand, and the words are just, like, you're like, oh, yeah, that is the word kind, K-N-D, or something, you know. So you're trying to translate. So I'm looking and waiting for her to come out of her class, and all of her friends' pictures are on the wall, and I'm looking for Marin's, and all these, like, I love spring with the flowers, and I love spring because, you know, the rain comes. And then there's my daughter. Dear spring, get your butt over here. And may I remind you, everybody knows that we're the pastor's family in town, right? So, dear spring, get your butt over here. I was like, well, she's just saying everything that we wanted to say, we just didn't say it. So, I don't know, ladies, I really don't have to say anything because everything that I prepared was either said by one of these great ladies. Weren't they great this morning? So, I just, yes, you can applaud them because they were really good. Can you reset my clock? Because it says I'm already 5 minutes over. I don't want to. So I'm supposed to be done. Okay, wrap it up. Okay. Oh, I don't need that long. You can give me like, because I've already been 5 minutes. So there you go. Yeah, I know. Where do you think they get it from? Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's a whole nother story. No, but I sat there and I was like, God, you must really want to say something to us. And myself in my life, personally, I'm on this journey of trying to figure out what's really important in life. I don't know if it's hormones. I just turned 40 last year, so you can all be praying for my husband, my children. But I don't think it's just where I'm at. Because I feel like this is a theme across the body of Christ. Because for some reason, we have found our identity in what we do. And we have found our identity in our stuff, and what we make and what our job is and, you know, our success and our list of to-dos. I loved that, that you make that your idol. That was just, Pastor, whoever said that, it was so good. But when Anne-Marie gave me this title, Abide, I was like, yes. Like, that's for me because that's where I'm at. I'm just in this state of, like, I don't really care anymore. Not, I don't care, like, I'm just going to sit around and watch my reality TV show all day. Like, not that kind of care. I mean, that would be fun, but who has time for that? See, who has time for that? I should just sit down, right? Yes. Okay. No, but just all the things that I thought were important in life and all the things that I was striving for and all the things that I was like, man, if I could only be, if I could only do this, if I could only, if I could only. And it just was this constant state of striving to the point where my physical body has told me, you have to stop. Even though everyone around me was saying, you have to stop. I wasn't listening to them. Now I have to. And it's just brought me to this place of what is really important? What is really important in life? And it's a spiritual practice. It's not just stopping, right? It's not just stopping and putting on a show or reading a book. It's a spiritual practice to remain in his presence at all times. It's something that we have to train our minds to do because our flesh isn't going to do it on its own. It's got to become a spiritual practice that we say to our spirits, bless the Lord. That we say in fear and trembling now, God, what do you want to do with me today? That's my prayer now. I have a list of things to do, but it used to stress me out. So then I was like, no, I can't really do those anymore because I just see this list that it just keeps getting longer and longer and I'm adding to them not at the same time as I'm erasing them. And it's just this very overwhelming thing. But I want to share today what happens when we abide. We all know, as we've heard this morning, and if you don't know, God says to abide, to remain in him, to live in him. But I want to share about a couple things that I feel happens when we abide. So if you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever you have, I'm going to go to just a scripture that is kind of obvious. And honestly, I wasn't going to go to John 15. That's where we're going to go. Because I'm like, well, they're all going to expect me to speak on abiding. They're going to go to the vine and so I had a message all prepared for you. And then 2 days ago, it was like, nope, this is what you're doing. I was like, okay. So I want to go to John 15. And this is Jesus speaking. And if you are new to the Lord, or if you just need a refresher, the book of John is just so, just real, isn't he? And he's just so intimate, and he's just got, you can tell he had this very intimate relationship with God. And in this book, there's just that intimacy. Like, he brings out things that the other gospel writers don't bring out. And so if you just need something fresh to read, read John. And my husband and I are just loving the Passion Translation. If you don't have it, it's in the New Testament and Psalms. But it's really great. Similar to the Message, but a little bit different. So if you don't have that, they do have it on YouVersion now. Yay, it's really good. Okay. All right, so let's read verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. For I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your sweet presence that's here today. We thank you that as women, we can come together and be vulnerable and real with our friends and with those around us. We thank you that you can speak intimately to us and we can hear your voice. And so, God, I pray that you would just prick our hearts and point out the things that are really keeping us from remaining in your love. And Lord, just speak to us. Lord, we've already heard so much today, but God, you have even more to speak to us. And so, God, I pray right now that you would just focus our hearts, focus our minds. Lord, that you would help the distractions to stay away. God, we just want this time, this day to be all about you. And so, Lord, we have more to hear from you. So, God, just speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God so good to us that he speaks in such practical ways and we can really understand what he's saying? I love it. I looked up the word remain and what that word remains in the Bible, and it means to be held continually. And this whole day, again, I mean, it just has all tying together. To remain as one, not to become another or different. God is just calling us to come to him, to remain in him. It's such a loving picture. It's such a picture of how God is not in this for himself. Right, ladies? He doesn't say, remain in me so that, you know, this, all this stuff can happen. It says, remain in me. Why? Because he just loves us so much. He loves us so much. He's for us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to grow. He wants to be there with us. But there's an exchange that happens here. There's an exchange that happens. It's just like when we hang out with somebody for a long time. Like, you know, I have kids and I'm like, okay, be careful who you hang out with because that's who you're going to be like. So you come, you're like, oh, you and your husband, you have that same look that you do. Or you can, you know, you just tend to become like the people you're around. There's an exchange that happens. And when we're with Jesus, there's an exchange that happens. And I want to talk about that. Let's talk about what happens when we have that exchange. Remaining means something has to change. Sorry, ladies. Something has to change. Verse 2 says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. When we remain in him, we become more like him. And as we become more like him, he begins to do something new in us. Now, for some of us who have had a really hard, bad past, you're like, yes, something new. Right? You're like, okay, I'm just done. I need something fresh. I'm just so excited that God is doing something new in me. Yes? But if we're kind of okay with life, we're like, oh dear, what does that mean? I'm really comfortable right here where I'm at. I'm okay, Lord. And you're saying you want to bring something new? We need to be ready for those new things. We need to be ready for those new things. We can't move forward while we're still in the old. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are new creations. It's hard to let go of the good, but sometimes God wants us to let go of the good so that we can have the best thing that he has. Isn't he so practical that he takes creation? It says the creation will praise him. So if creation, if it's good enough for the apple trees and for all these bushes to be pruned, then how come we think that we're out of that line? It says all creation will praise him. So guess what? We got to get some pruning done. We have to change. Why? Because the old has to become new. My husband, he likes to do the gardening. I'm with Pastor Carol. I kill every plant. Katie and Shannon clean my office, and I have one cactus, and I'm like, it is your one job to keep that alive because I don't know how to do it. But my husband likes to do things. And so we have these beautiful bushes and all these beautiful things. And he hacks those suckers away. And I'm like, those are my beautiful flowers. Like, what are you doing? Like, these ginormous bushes are like tiny little, like nothing is there. And he's like, don't you trust me? And I'm like, yes, in most things, I trust you. He's like, trust me, it'll come back. And I'm like, okay, I trust you. And spring comes and there they are. And they're more beautiful than ever. Like people come, my mother-in-law has a hydrangea tree like I have. She's like, oh my gosh, what do you do to that thing? It's like nuclear soil or something. Your blooms are so huge. And I'm like, I don't know, you have to ask my husband, but I know he just hacks the thing away and then all of a sudden it comes back great. So just talk to him. But I've also been thinking about seasons. You know, we're in the dead of winter and I'm like, oh my gosh, when is this going to end? And we're so impatient, right? Like, I think I saw somebody on Facebook say, if I ever see someone say that it's too hot, I'm going to kill them. Like, you know, we're just so impatient. We're like, you know, in the middle of summer, it's like too hot. And then we're like, when is fall coming? I just love fall. And, you know, and then winter's here and we're like, oh my gosh, I just want summer. Right? Well, I love summer. But I like the seasons. And the Lord's showing me that I need to appreciate seasons in my life. It's so true in our walk with the Lord, though, too, right? Like, when I had little kids, I was like, oh, my gosh, if only they could be at school all day. Doesn't that sound like heaven? Didn't it? I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just talking too much about kids, but I was like, that sounds glorious. Oh, my gosh. And then my daughter gets on the bus the first day. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that happened too fast. Right? And so we're in these seasons. We're in the season of single adulthood where you're like, if only I could just be married, my life would be complete. Oh, yep, see? And then we have teenagers. Yes. I have two teenage girls at home, two, with the middle school boy. It's just glorious fun times at my house. Hormones, everything. It's just really fun. And then my poor husband. Where was I going? Seasons. So I'm like, oh my gosh. People would come up to me and say, if only my children were little again. And I was like, what are you talking about? So now I have teenagers. And then I hear adult children are another whole story. So I feel like our whole life is like, okay, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. And we're not resting in that season, and we're not saying, you know what, I'm open for the new. I'm open for the new of what God has for me. Rest in your season. We're all in different seasons. Man, guys, we compare ourselves so much. I challenge you to get on social media one day and not compare yourself to the next person on there. Look at their husband does this. Why doesn't my husband do that? Like, look at, they're famous and they have a CD. Why aren't I famous like that? Why didn't they invite me to lead worship at this whatever? Right? Well, something must be wrong with me. Our process will all look different. We have to stop comparing our process to someone else's process. And can I just tell you, too, that it's not about how old you are? Because I think sometimes we look at people who are, like, our same age, and we're like, oh, my gosh, they're so much further along with me. I'm so behind. You know? And we look at people, like, it just doesn't matter. Like, your season is your season. And just rest in that and abide in that and know that God is bringing something new in your life and he is restoring you and he's challenging you and he's using you. Like, she's going to be so embarrassed, but Georgia Culver's in the back and her son co-wrote that Reckless Love song, Caleb Culver, he co-wrote that. And yeah, he did. And I heard a story, and it's true because I just downloaded the album, but Michael W. Smith, who, you know, for all of us older people, oldish, that's what I'm called at my office, oldish, we were like, oh my gosh. So he called and asked them if he can use their song. Like, wouldn't you die? Be like, yes, of course you can use that song. But what if Georgia gave up in her raising Caleb? Like, She's here in Syracuse just doing her grandma thing and nursing, and she's doing her thing. And she raised someone who wrote a song that is revolutionizing the world. really. I mean, that's pretty cool. And it's not just Georgia and Caleb. It's what heritage and what thing is God using you in? Because sometimes it has nothing to do with us. I hate to say that to you, but it might have anything to do with you. You might touch one person at the grocery store, and that was your calling and your destiny for that day, and God is saying, yeah, she did it. I'm on this mission where I'm like, it's not about reaching some kind of top of the ladder thing where we're just like climbing and climbing and climbing until we get to the end. It's like, no, this is today, and I want to do what I'm supposed to do today. And if it means that I'm just washing dishes today, or if I'm sitting on my swing and I'm just watching the sunrise and then I read a book and then I go and pray for somebody and I call a friend and I say, hey, God told me this and he wants you to be encouraged today. I did what I was supposed to do for that day. And we get so focused on the end product of like, oh, but God wants me to be this. And we put so much pressure on this huge destiny that we're supposed to be fulfilling in life. And we lose track of the day-to-day. And we look at our to-do list and we say, you know what, this is what I have to do, or this is what I should be doing, or this is what I need to be doing, or this person need. No. What does God want me to do today? That's my destiny for today. Isn't that so less overwhelming than just trying to think of, oh, I'm supposed to become this spiritually mature person and it's so overwhelming to me. It doesn't need to be overwhelming, ladies. It's not a to-do list. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's a relationship with Jesus. What is God asking you to change? Where are you unsettled in your season? What is he asking you to change? You know, you go through stuff. It's like spring cleaning, right? Anyone doing that? It's dreadful. And you, like, especially for like hoarding people who are like, I know I'm going to use this in 2 years. Jesus told me to keep it because I'm going to use it. Yeah. And you go to your husband, you're like, see, aren't you glad I didn't have to go buy this because I have it right over here. Yes, I've done it. But what are we cleaning out to make room for the new? What are we cleaning out to make room for the new? What is he asking us to change? Let's get ready for the change that God wants to bring, ladies. Because it's not just in our own lives, it's in the church as a whole. Things have to change because Jesus is doing something different on the earth today. His mission is not different. Sometimes the way he does things is different. His mission is not different. You need to hear that. His mission is not different. The second thing, we cannot bear fruit on our own. Verses 4 and 5 says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This says to me that we have to give up control. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. That's really hard to do, right? Because we, like, control our homes and, you know, we struck. Most of us. Now, some of us are like, that's not my strength. That is okay. Be released right now. I'm just releasing you. That's okay. But it's hard to give up control when someone else is driving. Can I get an amen? Anyone? When your coworker is doing something different than you. Yeah? Not as good as you. Well, that's to be judged, but that's another sermon. When we try to control our children, let me just tell you, it's impossible. My sister has a 2-year-old and she calls me, she's like, she is supposed to be taking a nap right now. I'm like, honey, just give up right now. Just, you can't control them. Like she has one of the, I didn't have these when I was raising children and I mean, it was only a few years ago, but I didn't buy the video monitor thing that everyone has now. So she sits there and she watches her in the crib. I'm like, turn it off. She's fine. Like, she's fine. She's going to go to sleep. But she's not taking a nap and she's going to be miserable. Welcome to the world. You know, I don't know what to say. Like, it's just, you cannot. And I try not to be that, like, my mom passed away, so I'm kind of like the mom. So I'm trying not to be a mom. I'm just like, honey, I'm really sorry. But I don't want to be like, sorry. It just gets exponentially worse when they're older. So. We're stubborn, aren't we, though? Like, when God tries to tell us, we're like, I'm not doing that. You can't make me. But when we try to control things, the Lord really spoke to me and said, we're really not stepping out in faith because we're really just, we want everything to be just so. And kind of that new thing maybe that God is saying to you is, how much faith are you going to have that I'm going to have you in my hand and that it's going to be okay? We're ultimately saying that we don't trust God enough with our lives. And I just want you to write down, if you have notes, or just put it in your notes in your head, but I want you to think about this just in your own time with the Lord as the weeks go on, or, you know, as the day goes on. Why is it so hard for you to trust him? I think that's a really important question that we need to ask ourselves. Why is it, Lord? So has he hurt you? Has he let you down? Hey, Lord, I asked you to do this thing, and you didn't do it. So you're done. I'm done with you. Because I can't do that again. I can't put my heart out there again. I asked you to do this. Or I thought you said you were going to do this, and it hasn't come to pass yet. What about other people that maybe might have failed you? Other people might have failed you, and you're like, well, if they fail me, then God's certainly going to fail me. So really ask yourself, why can't I trust him? He's the God of the universe. He made everything. And as we've sung several times this morning, God's been faithful. Attitude of gratitude. In America, any of us, the poorest of us here, are ginormously rich compared to other nations in the world. Every single one of us has something to be grateful for. Listen, you had a big meal today. Let's thank the Lord for that. I was in Haiti a few years ago. Those kids come because they're sponsored. They get one meal, rice and beans. You should have seen how fast those kids ate that meal. One meal. And my kids, as soon as I pick them up from school, what are we having for dinner? I don't know. What are you making? Why don't we trust him? It's so important, ladies, to really think about that. Because if we know why, then we can say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to that lie anymore. I know I can trust him because he's a good God. And yes, things didn't come out the way I planned them and things didn't happen the way I planned them. But I know you're good. We try to produce our own fruit and it doesn't work. It says, remain in me. And this is another one that's hard for us, and Carol talked about it. Reach out for help. We're not the saviors. Nobody expects us, and if they do, oh well. Can't be it all. We can't do it all. Reach out for help. You know why, though? Because you're using a gift that's theirs. And maybe you need their gift just as much as they need you. And if we try to do everything ourselves, then we other people around us miss out. And we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. I had this like freak out moment a couple years ago when my daughter went to babysit, because I was kind of the stay-at-home mom that was like, well, it's my responsibility to do everything for them. And so she went to babysit at somebody's house, and they were like, and then you have to do this and make this. And I was like, oh my gosh, she doesn't need to know how to do any of those things. Like, I was totally doing a disservice to her because I was saying, I'm just going to do it all. And I wasn't teaching her. I wasn't raising her up to be what she's supposed to be. And so if we do that even in spiritual terms, we're like, I'll do this for you. Number one, we're not challenging them in their gifts. And number two, we're stealing away from them because they have something to offer, just like we do. Ask for help. But guess what? That's hard to do because we want to do it our way. They're not going to do it the way you do it. That's really hard. Talk about letting go of control. I want to do it my way, right? We have our like mature temper tantrums. Anyone find themselves in those every once in a while? I know how to do it better, Mom. I know how to do it better, God. When we do it our own way, it's tiring, isn't it? And when we do it our own way, it's striving. And God has called us to live fruitful lives. And if we're exhausted, we're not bearing any kind of fruit. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. He's right there. Jesus said he left a comforter for us. And he's just always with us. Isn't that amazing? Like, to have a friend with you at all times, it's so great. And we just kind of ignore him throughout the day. We're like, nope, I've got this. I've got this. We can't do it on our own. The third thing I want to say is we need to let go of what's dead. Verse 6, it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Guys, we just need to let go of what's not bearing fruit that will last in our life. We need to make room for the new. We need to make room for the new things. We need to make room for that new shirt. So the ladies in my church already heard this illustration, but so I'm into this, like, well, I have teenagers, remember? So I had to start drinking coffee. Never drink coffee. Now I drink coffee. So I have this little, like, coffee bar at my house. And so now I love, like, collecting mugs wherever I go. But my husband's rule is, now remember, I don't like to throw things out. So my husband's rule is you have to get rid of one in order to get a new one. And I was like, but every one of those mugs has an emotional, sentimental, like, this person gave me this, and God spoke to me when I was drinking this mug. And, like, I'm like, get rid of it. Like, I hide them in my closet. I don't throw them away. I do. So I'm like, maybe someday I'll have a bigger kitchen and I'll be able to put all my mugs in there. Then I throw them away. But I have to make room for the new. I have to let go of what's dead in my life. That's hard. Because it's like, it's your identity. It's who you are, right? Like, you're like, no, don't make me get rid of that one. That's a part of me. That one hurts when I get rid of that one. But it's not producing any good fruit. So you're like, okay, I guess. And you just, like, hold your arm out. It's like, chop it off. No, he doesn't do that. No, but if we want room for the new, we have to get rid of the old. And that's really hard because the old is comfortable and the old is easy and the old is just, it's controllable, it's comfortable. We had this beautiful tree outside. It was gorgeous. It must have been there for like a million years. Like, it was just beautiful. And it was the crab apple, so it got really pink in the spring. It was just really beautiful. And it was right out our living room window, so in the spring we'd look out and see this beautiful tree. Well, I had this bright idea that I wanted a pool in my yard. And Derek's like, you know you have to get rid of the tree if you want the pool. And I was like, can we put it somewhere else, please? I love that tree. It's beautiful. Like, it's been there for forever. And he's like, if you want a pool, we have to get rid of the tree. And I was like, okay, all right. And I do love my pool now, but I do miss the tree sometimes. But if I didn't get rid of that tree, I wouldn't have this beautiful pool, and I wouldn't have a place for my family to come together, and I wouldn't have a place for my kids to hang out. And so I think that sometimes we're like, but God, you told me to do this, but why? So we kind of want to know, like, what's the good that's going to happen. But he's like, but wait, remember the word I talked about earlier, faith? You just need to have faith that you have to get rid of the old, and I'm going to provide something new for you. Because sometimes we want the new before we're willing to get rid of the old. But sometimes God is saying, are you willing to trust me enough to get rid of the old first? And then I will fill that space with something better? So good. Let me just release some of you. You need to let go of your old self. Remember that scripture I talked about earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, we are new creations. Jesus forgave you and declares you a new creation. So why do we hold on to him? Why do we hold on to that? Why do we hold on to that old self and drag him along like he's still a part of us when God's declaring that we're new? Ladies, we are new creations. We are new creations. And if we hold on to that old, if we're dragging him along, like, are you coming with me? Come on. And like, if you're a nurse, you know how heavy dead weight is. That is very tiring to be like, okay, come on. Are you coming? oh my gosh, I have to heal you. Like, this is really hard. And Jesus is like, let go of the old. I want new things for you. You'd be able to run a marathon if you got rid of that old self. Let go of the old. Why do we hold on to that old self of ours when Jesus has declared us new? So when that old self starts talking over here, you can say, nope, I'm a new creation. I'm new. I'm bought with the blood. I'm a daughter of the King. I don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. Let's let go of the old. And lastly, verse 9, Jesus says it's all about love. Now remain in my love. It sums it all up. Everything flows out of his love for us. He didn't say, now go and do a lot of good things for me, because that's where you'll be in my presence. He didn't say, go and be a successful whatever. He said, remain in my love. We've already heard it today. Ladies, we've got to hear it again. Remain in his love. Everything flows out of his love for us. Yesterday, we were driving. My kids had a half day, so we were driving over. Well, we came through here. We went to Cicero to the Chick-fil-A. Anybody? Yes, it was a treat. Because when we go down south to visit family, we always find we do not care if we have to drive 10 miles off the exit. We are finding the Chick-fil-A. If you haven't been there, maybe it's just a memory thing. I don't know. Because some people are like, no, it's not really worth the wait. Well, I'm telling you, I walked in and it was like a huge line on a Friday at lunchtime. Like, aren't you supposed to be at work? Like, I came here at lunch because I thought it was going to be less people. So what is everybody doing? But so we were driving out and it takes us about 50 minutes to get there. But this is, the kids have been waiting. When are we going to Chick-fil-A? Because they love it so much. So I was listening to this album that I said, oh, I was listening. I told my husband, you need to listen to this album and this song. And then a song came on after it. And the album is from 10th Avenue North. They're just a great band. If you haven't heard them, they're very, very good. And the song was called I Confess. And, you know, I'm in the car and you try to be that cool mom, like, who doesn't play out. Like, they're like, do we have to listen to the really slow worship songs all the time? Like, you know, so they just, I'm like, yes, we are. We're listening to this. Listen, it's very moving. So I'm in the front seat, and I'm listening to this song, and I'm just, like, crying. Let me tell you the chorus, the lines to the chorus. I confess, I admit, I look for life outside of you. I repent, I'm coming back to the only joy that's true. I don't want to look in a stranger's eyes. When I come into this place, let me grow familiar with the lines upon your face. It's like, who writes songs like that? Like, I played it again, I made my kids listen to it again, I didn't care. Like, you need to listen to this song and cry like your mom. That's so moving. Let me grow familiar with the lines on your face. Let me grow familiar with the scars in your hands. I grew up believing that my works for God what was most important to him. And they are. They're really important. But that's not what our relationship is based on. God sent his son to wreck the law so that we can remain in him. And I'm telling you, whatever hard season that you're in right now, whatever good season that you're in right now, whatever season, wherever you are, there you are. Stop striving. Stop pushing. stop making something happen? Like, I can't go out to my garden and say, come up, tulips, come up, come up. Like, I can't produce the fruit on my own. I can't, they don't just listen to me like that. It's got to be ready. In fact, you know, we're calling out for, like, please, warm weather, come. And I just talked to a farmer in my church, and they're like, no, not yet. We need a whole nother month. And I'm like, bite your tongue. You can't pray that way. That's not fair. I'm praying for the good weather. He can't listen to you. But they're not ready. When we have those 80-degree days, and we're all like, yes, and we put on our shorts with our white legs, you're like, oh, gosh. They're like, no. And they're praying for cold, and we're like, no, that is not the will of the Lord, so be quiet. He brought something new to this earth so that we could have a new life with him. We are the ones that choose to live in the old. The ways of the old life, our old habits, our old mindsets, our own lies, our old insecurities. We choose to stay there in that land. And God's like, would you stop wandering around for 40 years? Come on over to the promised land. It's pretty cool over here. But I'm scared. It's uncomfortable. But it's great. I want to pray that we're able to press on and push past the insecurities of the old and receive the new and the fresh that God has. Because guess what? When he prunes and when he gets rid of stuff, this really amazing fruit comes out of us, and it's pure, like gold. It's good fruit. It's fruit that will remain. It's fruit that will last. How many of you don't want to live your life and say, oh my gosh, I did nothing, or nothing that I did lasted? It's like, you know, your kid, when people come home and you're like, did you see that I vacuumed and I dusted? No, they come home and they just trash the place again. And you're like, why did I even do that? Every time I clean my floor, someone spills something on it. Every time. So I told my husband I'm not cleaning the floor anymore. And then we're like, nobody cares about what I do. And we do that at work too. We do that at our jobs. I did this and this and this and this. Nobody saw that I did all of this stuff. I'm not getting any recognition. But they come and they do nothing and they're promoted. And my daughter, Marin, is a justice girl. She comes home every day and gives me the 17 things of list of things that was not fair at school that day. Like, and I'm like, honey, I'm really sorry. And what do we say? Life is not fair. Life is not fair. But if we allow God to prune us, ladies, if we allow him to do new things in us, we have lasting fruit. And guess what? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. God sees our fruit. God knows what we did. And that's the most important thing. So I want us to remain in him. I want us to let go of what's dead. I want us to remain in his love. I want us to come to the place where we can say, God, I don't want to try to make something happen on my own. I want you to do what you want to do in my life. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for these women. Lord, we thank you that, God, you want to do something new in our lives. The old is done. God, I just speak to the women right now who are letting go of old things right now. Lord, we let it go. We let go of our old insecurities, our old habits, our old mindsets, the lies that we've listened to, the comfortableness. We let it go, God, and we just receive the new that you have for us. Lord, even if we don't know what that new thing is, God, we receive it in faith, believing that you have good things in store for us. God, and we thank you, Lord, that you will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you that we can remain in you and your love and know that you have a plan and a purpose for everything, that nothing goes to waste in your kingdom, that no good deed goes unnoticed. God, we just thank you that you look and you see, God, and you want a relationship with us, and that's it. And out of that relationship, you change us, you mold us, you shape us, and you lead us into the calling and the destiny that you have for us, God. We're honored to be your servants today. We love you, and we just say, come and have your way in our lives. Lord, we let go of the old. We remain in your love, and we press on for all that is new. In Jesus' name. Amen.